Hi, this is Denise Glenn, and we want to welcome you to the Freedom for Mother study. In this first week, we're going to be looking at John 15 and how Jesus can be our vine life. But let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to be overviewing in the whole 8-week study together. We're going to unpack John 15 piece by piece, verse by verse, as we look at how to become free as mothers. Well, what do we want to be free from? We want to be free from our hang-ups. We want to be free from the problems that we face just as a woman and as a mother, not only relating to our children, but just all aspects of our life. We're going to look at how to become free to love our kids. We want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit with our children, with our family. We want to be able to love freely. We want to have joy in our parenting, joy in our lives. We want to be at peace, just peace in the middle of really difficult circumstances. Of course we do. You want to have more patience, more kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, all those great fruits of the Spirit. Of course, that's what every mother wants to exhibit with her family and with her children. So how do we get there? How do we get from where we are right now? Some of us feel like life is chaos. Life may be out of control for you. Or maybe it's not so completely out of control, but you'd really like to fine-tune some of the aspects of your life and become more free to be who God made you to be. Well, you've come to the right place. We're going to dig into God's Word together as we study through how we can allow Jesus to be our life, not just help us with our life, but be our life. See, Jesus didn't come just to help you be a mother or even be a woman. He came to do it in you and through you and for you. So there's a process to get there. It doesn't happen instantly, but we're going to walk through that through these 8 weeks. Now today, we're going to look together starting with the first few verses of John 15. So if you'll get your Bible, I hope you brought it with you to your study because you're going to need it. So when I read scripture with you here on this series, I'd love for you to get out your Bible and actually open it as you do this. If you're doing it by yourself or you're doing it in a group, I'd love for you to read along with me. So if you'll look, we're going to read starting now in John 15. We're going to read the first 5 verses together. And I'm a grandma, so I'm going to put on my glasses. So let's read together John 15, 1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, you can do absolutely nothing without me. My life must be your life source. Well, I brought my vine today. So let me show you. It kind of helps us to look at a visual picture of what a vine does. Well, the life is in the vine itself. The branch is empty and it just contains the life of the vine. But when we start thinking about Jesus being our vine life, He's the life source. He's where we need to go to get the life down inside of us. So we are the empty branch. And when we're filled with His life, we can bear the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and patience that we so desire to be to our children and to the people in our world. When we start doing that, we're going to see that He is truly our vine life. All life is in Him. When I first started studying about the vine life of Jesus and looking at what does it mean for Jesus to be our life, I started realizing I have to reach up into Him and intentionally, purposefully pull his life down into me. It's my seeking first the kingdom of God and letting all these things come to me as I receive him. Of course, the first time I received him, I was a little child and I opened my heart to Jesus and asked him to come in. But now, as a believer, I've been a Christian, if you can believe this, over 50 years. And I've been learning, I'm still a baby at this, learning to draw His life down into me. And as His life fills me, as His life becomes my life, then as an empty branch, I can let His life flow through me then to my children. You know, when I was a young mom, I read every book I could find on mothering because I wanted to be the perfect mom, the perfect super mom. And I was trying so hard. In fact, I was over-parenting my children, just trying to be an overachiever at mothering, at parenting. And God's been teaching me over these years, Denise, actually, it can be easier than that. Let me be your life. Let me fill you. You know, Jesus didn't come to help you with your life. He didn't come to put his arm around you and be your cheerleader and come on, go baby, fight the fight, win the race. That would be you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and trying really hard. You know what? That's exhausting. Besides that, you're going to fail. I've already been there and done that, so let me save you the trouble. Reach out to Jesus. Let him be your life. He says, I didn't come just to help you with your life. I came to be your life. It is completely different when you pray, Lord, help me, rather than Lord, be me. Do this for me. Do it in me and through me, because mothering is over my head. All the different relationships of my life can get really complicated, from marriage to friendship to work to volunteering at church or society. All of these things can be pulling on me, and Jesus says, I know it's hard. Let me be your life. So as we started looking at this, and I started thinking, Lord, okay, I want that. I want you to be my life, but you're going to have to take me step by step from where I am right now in the midst of, you know, crazy circumstances. When I first started studying this, my children were teenagers. I had three teenage girls in high school, and man, of course, I was pulled in every direction and felt like I was failing on every point. And the Lord said, Denise, come to me and let me teach you some new things about allowing me to be your life. Well, the first thing he did is teach me that I have a big love bucket on the inside. So since I'm an old school teacher, I brought my love bucket just to help us visualize what it looks like for Jesus to actually be our life. Well, every person looking at this, every person watching this, including me, has a big empty space on the inside, and I just call it your love bucket. All of us have neediness on the inside. I don't care how professional or how spiritual you are, you have not outgrown having a love bucket. All of us do. And inside our love buckets, we have some basic needs. The first one is the blanket of unconditional love. Every person in the world has a big need for being wrapped in unconditional love. None of us have outgrown our Linus blankie. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to know that we are being totally wrapped in love that doesn't have us on performance-based acceptance. I'm not based on, you know, that love is not based on my appearance. It's not based on my behavior. I want love that is unconditional with no strings attached. Everybody does. Of course, that's what we want. And then we have a big need for value and worth. I want a gold medal. You know, we all watch the Olympics whenever they come on, and we all watch those athletes get, you know, the gold medal or even the silver or bronze. Of course, we run the race, and we do this even as a mom, as a woman. wanting to have that gold medal. I'm valuable. I'm worthy. I've done something right, something well, and I have intrinsic value and worth. Every human being has this need. We also have another need. And to illustrate this need, I brought my husband's letter jacket. Now, those of you who are watching this who are not in America are going to go, what is this jacket? Well, when my husband was in high school, they gave guys who played any kind of sporting event a jacket. And on this jacket, they could place all sorts of patches. Any achievement, if you won all district or all area, or if you won the state championship, you would get a patch, and your mother would very carefully sew this patch on. So look at my husband. Oh my goodness. He won all these awards playing many different sports throughout high school, and lots of medals that were awarded to him. Now, the tradition was in our high school that if you're a girl and your boyfriend gets a letter jacket and he's got all these patches and all these awards on it, and you belong to him, and so he lets you wear his letter jacket, what does that say about the girl? Oh my goodness, I belong to this guy. This guy is studly, you know, he is mine and I am his, and we belong, we're connected. In fact, I'm wearing his identity. Well, did you know that every human being has a need for belonging? We all want to belong to someone and something that means something to us. There needs to be that connection and that relationship. All of us need this. None of us get to outgrow it. So we look and say, you know, Lord, my love bucket that has all these big basic needs, I tend to want them to be filled from the people around me. When I was a young wife, I handed my love bucket to marriage. I mean, I thought that's why I got married. I got married so I could experience love. Of course, David was going to love me unconditionally, whether I had rollers in my hair and no makeup or, you know, came fresh from the salon. I wanted unconditional love for my husband, and I thought that's what marriage was going to be all about. Of course, when we were dating, he was really great at that. And then I wanted the gold medal of value and worth. I thought when I got married, I'm now this incredible man's wife. I'm David Glenn's wife, and this is going to be my value and worth is being connected to him. And of course, he put a wedding ring on my hand and gave me his name, and now I belong to someone that I love very much. And I handed my love bucket to marriage. And guess what? We'd been married about 3 days when I cried myself to sleep and went, okay, marriage doesn't do it for you. We started arguing and fussing over how to fold the towels and squeeze the toothpaste from the very beginning. And my knight fell off his horse. And, you know, I just realized marriage is never going to meet all the needs of my heart. It's not going to do it. So I'm thinking, after several years of marriage, the longer we were married, and because we did not know what the Bible said about marriage, we didn't know where to get our personal needs met in Christ, we were both trying to get them from each other, we were draining each other, and so I thought, I need to have a baby. If I could just have a baby, I would get all my needs met. My love bucket would be completely and totally filled. And my children, if I can have a baby, that baby's going to love me and appreciate me, and this is going to validate me as a person. It's going to fill my love bucket. Well, of course, God knows how to deal with each person. And in my case, I found that we were infertile. I couldn't have a baby. I was so mad at God. Lord, you're supposed to fill my love bucket with the desires of my heart, and the desire of my heart was to have a baby, and I just was fussing and angry with God. God, this is what I need. The Lord had to get me to a place where I was on my knees, on my literally on my face before Him, and I said, Lord, it's okay if I never have a child. What I want is You. I was really young when someone really wise instructed me to pray that prayer and encouraged me to pray. I didn't know at that time what I was actually saying is, Lord, You are the vine. You fill my love bucket. Children are not going to fill it, whether I have them or don't have them. That's not going to ultimately satisfy me. You are the satisfaction of my needs. You are the vine. I'm going to be a branch. Well, of course, the way God answered our prayer, Lord, it's okay if I never have a child. What I want is You. I told David, we're never going to have kids. I just gave them to God, sorry. And David so wisely said, you know, no problem. We'll see how life goes. In fact, I think he said, well, that's all right. We'll travel. And but the way God answered that prayer for us was just a few months later, God brought a doctor into our lives who did surgery, and we had 3 babies in 4 years. And these 3 babies did not wake up in the morning, oh, Mother, how could I fill Your love bucket? How can I validate You as a person? Are you kidding me? No. My children did exactly what your children do. My children got up in the morning and said, Mother, I need. That's what kids do to their mothers. Of course, my children did not fill my love bucket. In fact, my kids did exactly what yours do. They all put holes in the bottom of my bucket. That's what kids do to mothers. My marriage put holes in the bottom of my bucket. You see, I was handing my love bucket, handing my heart to the things that wouldn't satisfy. Well, after I realized, you know, marriage is not going to satisfy the needs of my heart, and parenting is not going to satisfy the needs of my heart. The older I got and the more my children grew up, I thought, well, you know, ministry. I know I'll serve the Lord and I'll get so involved in ministry. And I started the Motherwise ministry. It's been going on now for over 25 years. And I thought, that's it. I'll throw myself into ministry. And the Lord continued to say, Denise, it's not even in serving Me that will ultimately satisfy You. It is Me alone. He said, Denise, I'm Your life. I am Your vine life. Let Me fill you with life itself. I want you to look back in verse 4 and see what it says. It says, remain in Me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. Remaining in the vine is the whole deal. We don't have this big scary job as a believer in Jesus Christ. What we have to do is stay connected to the vine. That's your big job. Stay connected to the vine because all life is in the vine itself. You don't have to stir up in yourself and work hard and try harder and go fight, win. You actually need to be a receptacle. You need to be a vessel who can be filled up with the life of Jesus. And your job is to seek first the kingdom of God and pull His life down into you, that He could be your very life. I want to tell you just a little bit about some cool words in these verses. Look in John 15, 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. The true vine. The word true in the original Greek actually means, let me read it. It says, the opposite of fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended. This word means, He says, I am the true vine. I'm the opposite of counterfeit. I'm the opposite of pretended or simulated. I am the real deal. You know, we have so much. You've now got Photoshop, a lot of you on your computer. You can Photoshop a picture and help yourself lose 15 pounds. You can airbrush something. Of course, we all know magazine pictures of models that come out. They've been airbrushed like crazy, so there's not a flaw in their body. We have so many things in our world today through television, through media, through all the little things we can do our computer. You can't believe anything because that's not reality. There, you know, reality television has come about because people are tired of things being fake. We want to see the real thing. Let me tell you something, Mom. Jesus is the real deal. His life is where life is. That is the Zoe life that you're longing for. So when you come to mothering, when you come to your life in your marriage or your relationships or work or church or any of the different things that you have to face in your life, and of course you want to be full of love, full of joy, full of peace in the midst of chaos and craziness, Jesus says, then come to me. Come to me. Let me be your life. Cling to me. Hold on to me. Remain in me. And let my life remain in you. That is where life is. Well, I want us to look, conclude this lesson with Ephesians. There's an incredible prayer in Ephesians. Turn right in your Bible. Oh, it's about an eighth of an inch. Turn right and look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look in the end of verse 17. We're going to look at what Jesus says about filling us with His love and with His life and how much He wants to fill us. So look in Ephesians 3, 17. Starting in the middle of the verse, He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." He says, I want to fill your love bucket. I want to saturate and soak your life with unconditional love. He wants to wrap you in the blanket of love, filling you completely so that His life is what comes through you to your children and everybody in your world. It's going to be a fun study as we look at how God can fill us with Himself. Next week, we're going to look at how to be emptied of, how the branch can be emptied of ourselves, emptied of our own life, and allow Jesus to flow more freely through us. We're going to look at, well, goodness, if Jesus fills us with His life, if He loves us completely, if He's the vine, why doesn't it happen automatically when you accept Him as Savior, when you get saved, when you're born again? Why doesn't it happen automatically? We're going to answer that next week when you come back. So don't miss. Come back to Freedom for Mothers in your study. This week you're going to be doing homework, so I hope you'll do every bit of it to look up the scripture and dig deep into Him so that He can be your life.